Welcome to Darren's Decade Podcast. In this 10-part series, you can meet some of the people that have been a part of my life in the past decade, people that have influenced me, people that I might have influenced, and a couple of the sordid stories from my long-distant past. It is available on all major podcast platforms and on our website, ecr.co.za. Just search Darren's Decade. In this podcast, in actual fact, I often have long telephone conversations with a longtime comedy and industry friend, Joey Ruzdin. And this time I just decided to put the recorder on so you could be a fly on the wall for a conversation between two comedians and industry professionals, Joey Ruzdin and Darren Moll. And it always surprises people that one of the last things we actually talk about is comedy. And it's not jokes all the time. When comedians talk to each other, we're actually quite deep.
Over the last decade, Darren's met some awesome people. In this 10-part podcast series, Darren has open, honest, sometimes deep, sometimes hilarious conversations with them.
Oh, Darren.
How are you, my brother? All right, so,
I see you got married. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. You know what? I was getting jealous of you doing it, so I thought, let me try.
I'm not married.
There was that one time you got married.
Twice.
Okay, but those two times that you got married. And I thought, you know what? Joey can do, I can do as well.
So I got married twice.
I thought I would give it a bash.
How is your baba doing?
Oh, she's great, eh? She's 13 now. I see yours on the socials as well. You must be very, very proud. You have. I've met your kids backstage. They're amazing. So my son is
at UCT.
Awesome. You're nailing the parenthood thing.
He's at Michaelis of all places.
Okay. So my producer says, I don't know, who's interviewing here? He's interviewing me.
No, you guys are just chatting about how you know each other, basically.
Oh, we're chatting about how we know each other. That could take a long time.
That's a good start. I think we're off to a good start.
Let's go with this one, Joey, because we're doing 10 years of Breakfast Radio. Can you believe it? Darren Moll, 10 years Breakfast Radio. Did you ever believe that would happen?
I remember the day you told me that you're moving to Durban. And I was like, what are you moving to Durban for, my guy? And then you're like, nah, I got a gig, a radio gig. Then I was like, oh, okay. And then I think the next year, we did a show in Durban. And then you interviewed me. I was like one of your first guests there on the show. Yeah. And I was like, yo, this guy's not going to leave here. But I didn't tell you that.
It's good. This guy's not going to leave here.
Yeah, like you were in your element back then already. You were like, yeah, this. I was born to do this type of things. Like people don't know what a great actor you are.
Mm.
People don't know. Okay, people know you're a great comedian, but they don't know that you are a great actor. I still think you are a better actor than a comedian. That's just me personally. So people don't know that about you.
Yeah,
and people don't know that how great you are at honing people's skills, especially comedians, especially like us. Like when I started, you were always there honing it, telling me what to do, when to do what, how to do what. And we did tough gigs together. Hard gigs, bro. People don't know. So people don't know that about you, I don't think. In the past 10 years, you were just there on radio making people's days every day. So yeah. That's how I know Darren Moll.
I forgot all about those things. And it was like, and I remember being backstage with guys and it was, there was this new thing on the radar that everyone was like, there's stand-up comedy and you can go and do this. And we used to do gigs every night, a different venue every night. Sometimes there would be five people, sometimes there'd be 20 people. It was hard.
People don't know these things.
I remember, and you know what? You're quite right. It was organic for me. I'm backstage and I'm listening to guys and I just assumed that everyone was doing that. So like you would do a gag and it would do okay. And then I'd be sitting backstage and I'd go, why didn't that kill? That should have killed. That was funny. That was really, really funny. And then in my head, I'm going, well, maybe, try that. And then you would come off. And then we would chill for a bit, and I'd say, you know what? Try doing this with that gag next time you do it, and see how it goes. But it only works, you know, with the comedians that were like open to the change.
Accepting, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you have to also accept it, yeah.
Yeah,
so you have to also understand that, yes, this person has been doing this for longer than you. Mm. And also, I know for a fact that back then, it was, I could open up to you, not only with comedy, like just in personal things in general, like just general stuff, like emotional, general, worldly stuff that I think we don't speak about that often. Like now I'm in therapy and I have a psychologist, but back then I didn't have one.
Yeah, you had me back
then. Who was the psychologist? The psychologist was the people that you hang out with.
Yeah.
And best to hang out with people that know shit. Otherwise, you're going to go down the drain.
Yeah.
Basically.
I don't know if I had the best advice back then, but I do remember enjoying our long sessions together. But I mean...
Yeah.
I wonder what is the I've been out of it for so long. What is the okay? Obviously now with the coronavirus, there aren't many gigs for anyone. What is the comedy circuit like? You know, as opposed to 10 years, because I remember 10 years ago. It doesn't matter. I remember sitting backstage. It's Joey Rosdeen, John Vlismas, Trevor Noah, Dumiso Solinde, Conrad Koch. We're all sitting backstage. There's no hierarchy. There's no
nothing.
Ego. Everyone, we just nothing. Chatted. And then it's like, okay, John, you're up. And then he'd go up, he'd do 10 minutes, he'd come off.
Yeah.
And we'd continue the conversation. And it was like, it was just, I have such, things do change in your memory. But I have such fond memories of a real, real brotherhood. And sisterhood.
Yeah, there was. I think amongst the guys our age, though, like myself, Kagiso, David, Chris Forrest, we still have that beyond comedy. We friends, like beyond comedy. Like I considered you as a friend, not as a colleague.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It felt exactly like.
And it
that.
Also, yeah. Nowadays, it's a bit strange because. I don't know if it's out of respect or out of, I don't know what it is, but it's not like before where I used to go do a gig and I could speak to everybody. And now it's like people is a bit intimidated. I don't know. Like maybe it's because now I'm basically the Mia Miller of this stuff now. So when you rock up at a gig, then there's all these young guys and they don't know what to say to me. They like in awe, I guess. I'm not being arrogant or being, but it feels like, and I'm like, no, guys, I'm just normal. I was in the exact same position. It's just, we in this thing together.
Yeah.
And they still feel that, hey, yeah, is this guy. And he achieved so much, or he's done so, and it feels like I'm not relatable. Whereas back in the day, it doesn't really matter. Mark Banks yesterday, it's like he was like, he told me once, yo, guy, you were really cuck. Next time, just think that the people is goats.
Yeah.
that was like, yo, this guy, I'm dying on stage and he's telling me no. I must think the people is goats.
I don't
and also when you, I think the difference is back then we all were still new in the industry. This industry wasn't as big as it is now, so there wasn't lots of unnecessary competition.
Yeah,
we all had our own fair share.
Yeah. We all had a sense that you're right. You're 100% right. I think that's the thing I miss the most about it is, I'm just gonna go hang with my friends and we're gonna tell some jokes and then we're gonna have a few drinks and that was it. That was the industry.
That's it.
And now you've got
that was the industry.
You got young guys now that are like on their fourth live gig and they're working on their one man show. And you're like, what? No.
Yeah.
Like, what, no, what are you doing?
No, no. Yeah.
No. No, that's not how it works. No. You gotta do your stage time. And you know what was like one of the biggest eye openers? It's one thing to watch young guys have a really, really good evening. You know, you can learn from that and then they keep you sort of like sharp and on the edge and sort of like, okay, I need to up my game on this gig. But it's another thing watching, you know, legends of the industry go out there and die. And you just go, like the first time I was backstage.
Yeah.
And I saw Mark Banks just lose it with an audience. Or I saw they didn't warm up to a Mal Miller. Or, you know, and I just go, hang on a second. That can happen? That just happened. I mean, I opened for Barry Hilton one night, and I was like, and Barry really, really struggled with his room. You know, I would go so it was the closest I'd seen, like the Barry Hilton. And I was like, what? How is that even possible? But you learn, and then you and I get to experience that firsthand. We go out there. I've got 2, 3, 4 hours under my of material under my belt that I can access at any time. But I just haven't got this crowd. I'm just not winning at all. And you learn more from that.
You learn much more from that. The people don't know about Carnival City. They don't know about Windmill Casino. They don't know about what is that other place in Pretoria?
Dax.
Yeah. Dax. They don't know Dax. Yeah. It's like, you have to have hair on your teeth.
Yeah.
Hair on your teeth.
Yeah. But you're right. Then they I got this call from East Coast. They said, listen, we want you to do the breakfast show. And I was like, what? But you're going to train. I'm going to do daytime and then, or weekend or whatever. And then eventually, like 3 or 4 years down the line, you want to groom me to be a breakfast host. They're like, no, we're going to train you. You're going to do our breakfast show. And I was like, this is madness. But like, you know, I've done Fontaine, I've done Survivor, and I've done all this other stuff. I just thought radio is another performance. It's another performance art thing we can do. Once you've done stand up at Dax, you can fear nothing.
You can do anything.
Yeah.
You can do anything.
If you did
Windmill, Dax, Carnival City.
Yeah.
And you can do anything after that. I'm telling you now.
Yeah, and can I tell you what was the biggest eye-opener for me, right? So I arrive here, there's so much to learn. And then like years down the line, I tell people that they're not the same. Like every other industry, like TV and film and live and stand-up and MC and physical comedy and all of this stuff, there's links to them. Radio, it lives in another universe. It isn't part of that performance art thing. Which was one that was one of the biggest learning curves for me. But another thing that I missed for the longest time, and it changed now because I've got a team dynamic with the show, which is really working. Well, one of the things I missed the most was coming out of the stand-up industry where we are all mates. And then you come into the radio industry, and especially when you come in as breakfast, everyone wants your job. Everyone's trying to outdo you. And everyone's saying something to someone else that they don't, and then they don't say this to you. They say this one. And there was such a sense of secretiveness and subterfuge. And I was like, why is it like this? Why can't we just, why can't we just all be backstage? And it's like, that was a hard learning.
It's still like that, isn't it?
It is. But you assimilate now. And also one of the biggest lessons I learned from radio is if you're trying to prove yourself while you're on air, it's not going to work. The best way to do it is like, go, okay, I've got this. And then be the best you can be and be in the moment and enjoy now and be in the moment. So you kind of have to just submit and say, you know what? Whatever's happening around me, behind me, under me, above me, that's going to happen. And thinking about it right now is not going to help me. So I have this in front of me right now. I'm going to love it. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to embrace it. And then whatever happens, happens. You kind of go, I can't have a long-term plan with this. I'm just going to go one day at a time, 1 week, 1 month at a time. And then before you know it, you're at 10 years. Like when they said to me, like, hey, Darren, we're celebrating 10 years of breakfast radio, 10 years of radio. I'm like, what? How did that happen?
Look here. I'm always big on quotes and stuff. Né? So I read another quote that said that the Titanic didn't sink because of the water around it. It sank because the water was in it.
What's the relevance of that?
If you just ignore the water around you and continue and let it not get into you, then you'll be fine.
Never a truer inspiration was spoken to me. I will take that and I'm going to apply it. My Joey.
Thank you, Masikan.
Okay, my
Thank
brother.
You, Masikan.
We'll chat again soon, okay?
All right. Shop, shop.
I love you, my brother. Cheers.
I love you too, man. Shop, shop.
Darren's Decade on East Coast Radio, KZN's number one hit music station. For more, hit ecr.co.za, #Darren's Decade.